O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I was really thrilled this morning when you just were all being hospitable to one another. You're just all talking. In fact, I guess if I was being really true to myself, I think that's church. That's the way God intended it. The institution, I don't think, was necessarily God's idea. I think that's a human way, because we want to control things, we want to know who's in and who's out. You see, God is really all about relationship. And we put lots of things in place to try and make organisation happen, and usually at the cost of relationship. Have you noticed that? We put boundaries in, we decide who isn't or isn't acceptable, and even things like hierarchy and structure. We say, well, we kind of, you know, I'm a bloke and we, you know, and I'm an ISTJ, which means structure and order is kind of my world, and you break that and I'm in crisis. And yet I think that in the economy of God, relationship takes paramount over all of that. And it's kind of interesting, hospitality, because last weekend I was away at my brother's wedding. When you get to our stage of life, weddings tend to be rarer events within the immediacy of your family, but of course Rabina and Jeff are, you know, disproving that as a theory. And so I went to we went to this wedding, and three of my brothers, there's four of my brothers, can't be sick, there's five of us, so four of us all lived together in one house, and Phil and Tizia came and joined us. They were a couple getting married, and we extend hospitality to one another. You know that we just hung out for a whole weekend, first time we'd done that in about 10 years, and just enjoyed one another's company and did this and did that, drank wine and had coffee and had meals together and just sitting. And then of course there's the wedding, where at a wedding a lot of hospitality takes place. I mean, the very event of a wedding has hospitality to it. It's by nature hospitable, and it was in a private home, a friend of Atitius, and in fact I discovered that my brother was laying paths just 2 days beforehand, and it's a picturesque place that you'd see in a glossy magazine, and it rained. Except just at the crucial points when the wedding took place, and as the minister was leading the certain bits, it was all underscored because sheep in the paddock bleated. It's kind of entertaining. You know, will you take this man to be your wife? Bear. Or whatever the words are. But underscoring all this is hospitality. And do you know what the interesting spin to hospitality is? Is joy. Which is our theme today. Good hospitality generates within its very nature gratitude and grace. It's actually fundamentally, hospitality is about relationship, and where there's good relationship, there's joy. And within the Trinity of God, the community of God, which is all about relationship, there is an inexplicable joy contained in that connection. And that's what he wants for us as kids. So over the next few weeks, I want to look at a variety of topics that I trust are both practical and helpful. And I'm indebted to the Gospel Coalition for the source of this series. And today, we shall talk about hospitality, and it's not just for the home. I'm fascinated to learn that a high percentage of office workers don't take regular lunch breaks. Instead, they eat alone at their desks in just 15 minutes. This trend is so common that it's got a name. It's called desktop dining. However, desktop dining takes a toll. Work is a place for community and collaboration. It's a place where relationships matter. When we prefer tasks or social media such as Facebook or heavy texting on our mobile phones, over real life conversations with people, we miss opportunities for hospitality, and as Christians, this also means we miss gospel opportunities that come from good hospitality. It's one of the things I'm actually quite conscious of on a Friday night. Just out of ordinary conversation, out of that context of hospitality, just the kind of things that take place present gospel opportunities. Hospitality is both an attitude of heart and also a way of doing things. It seeks to turn strangers into friends by the way we welcome them and offer generosity and grace. Throughout the Bible, God calls his people to show hospitality to strangers, orphans, foreigners, the poor, widows, and more. We read in Deuteronomy, God ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You see, when we think about hospitality, often we think about real TV programs like cooking and home and garden shows and all that kind of stuff. But biblical hospitality is simple. It's hosting a person or a group or inviting a neighbor to dinner or listening to a friend over coffee. It can be done anywhere, including at home or in alternative homes like cafes and restaurants. Yeah, and have you ever looked around how many flippant cafes there are in town? And you say, well, from a business perspective, it's all about them earning a living. They only can do that because there is a will for people to go and hang out together, and it's a great place to do it. And even now, you go off to meetings. I have about two or three meetings in the course of any 1 month that all now takes place in a cafe. It says something about the changing character of society, doesn't it? And I think there is some good in it. There are alternative places we do that. Yet hospitality is not just for our private lives. It's for our work. It's for those we meet in our recreational community, interests and sports. God called Israel to leave the edges of the harvest for the visitor, the tourist, as well as the least, the last and the lost. He declared that when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields. And do not pick up what a harvest drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigner living among you. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus. The harvest was their work and livelihood. Leaving some harvest as an act of hospitality cut into their income, their hospitality cost them something. And there are many ways to be hospitable. Eating together is one of them. It makes a difference. A study of firefighters found that they were more cooperative and worked better when they ate together. I'm glad about that. Workplace satisfaction is so much higher if you eat with your colleagues, Brian Wensick says. You like your job more and you like your colleagues better. This is also why Alpha, the Alpha program, which we know and its variants include a meal. It is a place for meeting people and shifting relationships from strangers to friends. It's the whole thing behind, you know, the Picton newcomers. It's about new people coming in, strangers, meeting with others who for them are strangers, and you know, and actually turning them into friends. That's right, isn't it? Is actually changing the culture of a person's life so that it becomes something more of value. And because they want to stay. I'm not going to say where, but I live in one place in this country. And somebody came into that community, not particularly big, and started running it down. The community had driven them out in 9 months. It says something, doesn't it? It's sad, but it says something. We can profoundly affect the life of those who walk through the door. But eating together isn't the only way. You can let people know that you don't mind being interrupted. It's having that eye to watch for them. We can invite others to join us at morning tea or afternoon tea. We can ask someone to join us on a trip to Blenheim or simply to go down the street. We can be known as people who, when it is practical, say yes to others, which also means you say no. Do you understand the significance of that? You cannot say yes and mean it unless you can say no. Because if you say yes all the time but don't mean it, you're actually doing it out of bitter, you start resenting it, don't you? But if you can say, no, I cannot do this today, and not have to justify it, because the moment you start justifying it, you're just making a grave. You just have to say, no, I can't. Don't need to justify. Not convenient today. That means that when you say yes and become known as yes, then people will know the difference, and you know the difference, and you'll engage them differently. Hospitality can be built into the things we do. Like the Israelites who were called to leave the edges of their harvest, we can make serving others part of our everyday interests and work. We can show hospitality when we mix our work and social lives. So often we segregate our public or work lives from our private and social lives. So we host a barbecue, say, for just our friends from the club. And then we might host one from our church friends. But how about joining it all together? In fact, maybe some of our non-Christian colleagues and associates might connect better with our Christian friends than they do with us. Now that could be a real fracture to the ego. So get over it. Because the truth is, it will build health into the relationships. Because you were never made to be an island. You are always destined to be in community. And you know what sin has done? It's stuffed that up. Because we become self-interested and self-motivated and self-caught up rather than seeking the highest good of one another. Hospitality can be hard work. We're tempted to organise our days as lists of tasks, at least I do, and people can be seen as interruptions. We have to get our jobs done, and our relationships can become inefficient. But the hard intention behind hospitality seeks to turn strangers into friends, and it's amazing how many colleagues or neighbours are strangers, needy, unseen, relationally disconnected people. Seeking them out might be a rare kindness to them. In everyday events, there are always the invisible people, those who others don't see. And we're guilty of it. We just don't see them. We can walk past them. They can sit beside us. But somehow there's a cloak over them and we don't see them. Being hospitable is becoming aware of these folk and bringing them into the light. Toby Norman, now I have absolutely no idea who Toby Norman is, but I thought I'd better say his name. He says this: like most who grew up reading Harry Potter, I used to think invisibility cloaks were so cool. Going incognito at will held too many opportunities for an adventurous child. And you can imagine, want to sneak out of the house, put the cloak on. Gone. Mum can't see me or Dad. Especially when I'm in trouble. Put the seat on. Going incognito at will held too many opportunities for an adventurous child I was. Now that I'm adult, I still think they're cool. In fact, I could definitely find better uses for one now than I had ever imagined as an 11-year-old boy. Avoiding my finance director when she chases me down for monthly travel receipts, for an example, because I've jolly well lost them. I find it ironic, he says, therefore, that in my line of work, our goal is specifically to tear away the figurative and yet very real invisibility cloaks from the faces of those who were born with it, never go without it, and want nothing more than to escape it. It's always interested me, and it's been documented amongst those who have committed suicide, who have felt that they were invisible. It says something, doesn't it? You see, every one of us wants to belong and wants to be loved, because at your core, that's what you are made for. People are almost always loved, not argued towards faith in Jesus. We sometimes think that the life of a Christian starts with conversion, then community, then discipleship. In reality, though, it starts with community. But first there is a need to know some Christians, and then making the choice to follow Jesus may become plausible in spite of infinite objections. Sometimes conversion takes years, and when we build authentic, hospitable relationships, we begin to demonstrate the truth of the gospel with our lives, even if we don't immediately share it with our words. And our relationally broken culture, being a true friend, is a rare thing. And we get the power to do this only when we remember we were strangers to the love of God, and He showed hospitality to us. And John 1 tells us that the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. I just love that picture. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is the sort of like the standard translation. But the Message has, and moved into the neighborhood. Your neighborhood. He left comfort of heaven, where the perfect love of the triune God, listen to this, danced with joy to come to us for you. Jesus ate with sinners and showed hospitality. He played host and turned common things like loaves and fish into a mess of meals. Then in his death, he left the family meal, the Lord's Supper, to remember him. Now, I think we don't do the Lord's Supper well. Oh, in a religious sense and in the formality of church, that's the way we do it. But that's not the way I think it was designed. It came out of the Passover meal, didn't it? I'll do another one of them this coming year. It'll be the last I do with you. So I'm kind of wanting to do that. Because it comes out of a meal. You know, we shouldn't be sitting in toast racks like we do on a Sunday morning. We should be sitting around having a great bun fight. Into the midst of that, we break bread and have wine. I remember Mike Frost saying this one day. He engaged with the community a lot. And he was asked often to go, because his wife, I think, is an artist, to go and open art galleries and things like that. And he was doing this one day, I think I've got the story right, and they said to him, look, we want to have a meal, and we'd like you to come, and we would like you to break bread and have some wine and just talk about Jesus. He said, well, you want to do church? No, we don't want church. We would like you to come and join our meal, and we want to break bread, and we want to have some wine, and we'd like to talk about Jesus. Doesn't this sound something kind of profoundly life-giving in that? Now, I think if I was to say that's what we were going to do every Sunday, you know, my life might become very short, because this is the way we kind of do things. And it has its own richness and special place. And it can only be ever an image of what I think Jesus meant, and certainly a very pale image of what communion will look like in heaven, where all the joy and the celebration of the saints will just enter into the joy and relationship of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who wants us to just hang out with Him. When we befriend others, we invite them to consider the gospel by loving them, loving them without conditions. We can do this just as much with our colleagues as we can with anyone else who walks through the door of wherever we have influence and presence. Lord God, we thank you for the hospitality that you extended to us. We thank you for the way in which you came and you welcome us, and it was your joy to do that. So Lord, feed our hearts to hunger to give hospitality to anyone who crosses our path. Whether it's in our welcome and in our grace, whether it's taking them for a coffee, for a trip, for a meal, whatever it might be. Grow our heart to be hospitable like yours. Grow our love to be generous like yours. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.